To open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness. So deal with us. We've opened thy love letter, thy word. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful ministry in your saving grace. And Father, to you be honor, to you be the glory. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Exodus and chapter 20, you would recall that you cannot be a boy or girl, a man or woman, without a father. Isn't that a profound statement? And a father needs a mother. There's no substitute, no variation. It's the way it is. That's always been the way it is. And as long as the sun shines, that's the way it's going to be. There's no way around it, no matter how you say, think, do, won't make any difference at all. So, a father. There's no one, nothing. Without a father, someone has to beget, someone has to create, someone has to bring something forth. And God is the creator, only one. God's the only savior. God is the father. God the father, God the son, and God the Holy Ghost. God in his wonderful essence, nature, and being is God is one. God the Father. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, you created us, male and female, etc. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, instructing the nation that is to be a witness to all of the nations, to point the way to understand God and their own personal creation. Therefore, Exodus 20 gives us the Ten Commandments. Now, and in the middle of the Ten Commandments, as it were, is verse 12, which has to do with the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So we need to go and honor, give honor. It's intensive to respect, honor, reverence, etc., to esteem highly thy father and mother. Now, having said that, why? Because that's how you came into the world, by way of father and mother. That's how you have your physical life in a most awesome way. And that physical life needs to be understood where it came from. It came from father and mother, which God created each father and mother, male and female, Adam and Eve. It came from there, from God. So God, you are the father that created it all. That's right, God said. And I want you to know that Adam and Eve, I created them. And it is my wonderful desire in honoring and outworking my blessed will to go and have Adam and Eve produce a great host of humanity through human history. And in doing so, it's always going to be by way of a father. Now, and so why? So that we know how to get. I need to know where I came from. I didn't come from a plant. I didn't come from a chemical reaction. I didn't come from any of that. No. No, I was created. I was created by God in his marvelous way. And being created by God, then I'm going to think about God. If I'm not created about God, if I'm not created by God, I don't have to think about God. And that's the big thing today. We don't understand we're created by God. We aren't an accident. We aren't the product of male and female just doing whatever. No, we're more than that. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God created us in a most awesome way. And therefore, you have the Ten Commandments. The first four have to do with honoring God. But you can't honor God if you don't honor, don't know about God. So we have to understand, honor my father and mother, which God created. God, it's God's plan. Therefore, I have God right in this. No matter how I do this, God is involved to be born. A boy, a girl, man, a woman. Therefore, God, I got God in my head, my mouth, I'm saying it. God, God, wonderfully, wonderfully God. Now, I need to understand that and have that because that's where I need to go. Mother and father come and go, and as sin has taken its toll through the centuries, and fathers and mothers are what we are, good or bad, much or little. No, we're here, we're only temporary. We have an assignment. We're given delegated authority to raise the children, delegated authority. They aren't our children. Every person belongs to God. No person belongs to anybody except God. You can make slaves of people, but you can do that. But the persons have to belong to God. They don't belong to anybody else. God made them. They're accountable to God, responsible to God. And that's where you begin and the end of your conversation. God is the centerpiece. Now, having said that, thus the Ten Commandments, father and mother, are the bridge, the wonderful, wonderful bridge to get to God. Now, and therefore, and God made us in a very, very special way, in his image and likeness, in order for God to be in joy in his creativity, to be able to look and see in humans, people, to find himself, to be able, humans are what? Are able to say what that cats and dogs don't. I am, I ought, I'm morally responsible, and I will, I make decisions. I am, I ought, I will. That's God. And God gives us that wonderful, wonderful privilege of being able to have those ingredients. Now, and having those ingredients in God, you being the only Savior, the only God. And so looking to you and trusting you with all our heart. Now, and is that a common understanding? Yes. Exodus chapter 20. Do you understand that? Yeah. If I read, I'm going to read to you, just quote for you. The end. The second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. You know it. Quote, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable and untransferable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our government recognizes God as the Creator, and we are created by God. But somehow that all got lost in the journey through time. Now, having said that, so that's the way it is, no matter how you go and however you think. And therefore, I want you to be encouraged. I have little bags people have brought me over the years because God made Adam and Eve, Adam first, and then Eve out of Adam. God made Adam out of the dust called the red earth. Earth that is red, and people in traveling find red earth, and I get little bags of red earth. Now, and my ground is not red earth. Now, here's some. Now, you can't see it back there. I'm sure you aren't impressed by it. Are you impressed? This is you. No. If I put you in the ground for a few months, this is you, isn't it? Genesis 3:18, we are of dust, we're from dust, we are of dust, and we go what? Back to dust. Now, are you impressed about yourself? Aren't you excited? This is what you were, as it were, this is what you are, but boy, you look good. And then you're going to become this. Wow. Why? Show it. I want you to know and remind yourself how special you are. When I look at this, and then I look at you, special. We're, Psalm 139, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's awesome. Who did that? God did that. Now, God, if you took the time to do this and make this us, you must be something else, God. And God, you did such intricate design in all the parts of the body, every function of the body, all the different systems of the body. Marvelous, 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 beyond explanation. And we haven't, with all of our research and computers and microscopes and everything, we haven't even touched the surface yet, comparatively. Now, in all of this there. So here's the earth. And here we are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, God, we're just going to go a little further. And so that normally, a few years ago, would have never had to do this because we all understood, fathers and mothers, and there was no problem. Boys and girls, do you remember that, those days? Life was pretty simple and wonderful. And between California and our state, I don't know which is the winner at the moment, we're in the wrong direction, to say the least. Wow. Now, having said that, so here's the issues there. Go, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And picking up if I can, chapter 17, getting the idea of it. Verse 24, to the church in Athens, to the group, the believers, the people in Athens that were going to be believers, etc. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heavens and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, etc. Sliding down along, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, humans, and all of their location on planet earth. Verse 27. The reason, God, here they are all over, so that they each have opportunity without being pushed into something else, that they can have opportunity to what? Verse 27. That they should be seeking the Lord, if haply, if perchance, they might feel after him and find him, though they be not far from every one of us. Think of a blind person moving along, feeling along, and they're feeling along, and if they feel along, that a blind person, feeling along, a blind person doing that, they'll find God. They'll find God. Aha, that's right. God said they'll find me. Even a blind person will find me. Now, as it were, now. And therefore, verse 28, and of him, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So that people know that you have to be saved to know. You don't have to be Christian, believer. The people know we're offspring of God. And in verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, deity, is like unto God that made us, can't be like an idol of gold and silver and wood. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven in by art and man's devices. No, we ought to understand humans are wonderfully, wonderfully, and uniquely wonderfully made to enjoy and honor God in a most awesome way. Now, in order to get that, over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63, may I pick up, here's Israel moving through history. When you come to verse 15, going in the light of the context now, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness to God and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me. Are they remained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of, Abraham never knew us, and Israel acknowledged us not, though, O Lord, thou art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. So God, we recognize your wonderful person and presence. We recognize you, Father, that we aren't really related like we should be, but we recognize you're God the Father. That's Israel now. And in chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But God, having all the things you're letting happen and do, but now, verse 8, now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. So we're going to have to confess, God, that in our coming and going, we've sort of left you out of the picture. This is Israel. And we're going down there's no light, there's no life, no love. We're missing all the wonderful ingredients. And here we are, and we're in trouble. And you are our Father. We acknowledge we're vessels of clay, and we acknowledge you're the Father. Because there's only one Father, that's you. Think of Ephesians 4. There is one God and one Father, period, for everyone in all the world. There's no other Father that made everybody in the middle of any nation. Wow, you made them all. That's right, God. You did that. Now, and therefore, Malachi, come to the end. And you're going to move through history to the end of the Old Testament. And we come to Malachi and chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, Malachi chapter 1, in verse 6 directly. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now God is looking for what? Them to acknowledge and for them to understand that God is the Father. They said it, but time goes on, and pretty soon they don't say it. It doesn't matter anymore about God. Now, over to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 10, directly in the light of the context. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man, against his brother, by profaning, making common the covenant of our fathers? So, God, we always have to acknowledge, when we're all done, God, you're the only God, the only Savior, you're the Creator, you're the Father. No matter how we go, no matter how we do this, God, you are the only one. And you said it in the beginning, even though we don't know it, Genesis 3:15, you provide a wonderful saving Savior that's able to save us to the uttermost, a seed of the woman, And you provided a wonderful Savior in your wonderful plan. And God, we just aren't connecting to it at all. We're missing out on the whole sequence of events and how it's supposed to go. And over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John and chapter 1. Picking up, if I may, in thought. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Now, remember now, God, I'll read it. In the beginning, verse 1, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's nothing anywhere, in any way, shape, or form that God doesn't make happen. God made it happen. Now, sliding along, and God, you did something, verse 14, and the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we shared all these things, and that's with John, our study of the Gospel of John. It's all about what? God making Himself known by way of His Son, which is planned. We shared over here Revelation 13:8 and all of that. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. God, before anything's created, including angels, you went and did what you did and decided to make in your creativity to glorify yourself. You did all of this so that the wonderful painting, the wonderful work that you do in creating is going to reflect your marvelous person. The centerpiece of it is going to be yourself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so he's going to die on the cross and make everything that got all bumpy along the way, sin and everything else, sin, suffering and sorrow, there it is. But God, you had a wonderful way to make it all come out right in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And His wonderful, wonderful ministry is to show the Father. Now, just for the sake of interest, maybe, do you understand if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would find the word Father at least spoken, not the word Father, spoken by our Lord at least 234 times. At least that. Our Lord used it, Father, 234 times or so. You understand that? It's a relationship. I and my Father are one. Wow. So God, the Father, makes Himself known in the Son in a most wonderful way. And therefore, we're to understand the wonderful Spirit of God's ministry. So when we, John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the power, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in His name. Now, what did you do, God? When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, what do you do? You make me a child, born again, a born again one, the source. You're the origin, you're the source of my being. Not only physically, spirit, as a person, soul and spirit, but spiritually, as I get saved, a child of God. Now, you're going to make me a child of God. That's what I'm going to do. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God makes me a child of God in a most wonderful way. And we know, without going there, God, you adopt us to place as sons in the Son. You go and adopt us, and that gives us not only, you're the source of our being in relating to you, so you're the Father. We're the children, straightway. All children humanly have to have a Father. Spiritually, God, you're the Father. And to add to that, in the light of being you're the Father, you have gone and made it possible for us to be sons. With all son, that word, God, you adopt us into sonship, and that means fellowship. We have a unique relationship to you. Not only as you gave us birth, but you give us a unique relationship where we, think of Sunday school, practice a fellowship, a unique communion and union with who you are, God. Now, you did all of that for us, God, in a most awesome way, and therefore, and you're going to go and secure that What is the security that you're going to do for this relationship? Child, son, what's the security? God? Ah, the Spirit of God's ministry making life happen. And you know it for 1,000 times. Galatians 4:6, Romans 8:15 or so. God, what are you going to say? Abba, Father. And then what am I going to say? Because you're going to teach me to say it over and over. Abba, Father. Hebrew, Greek, Father. Father, Father, Father. You keep saying Father, I keep saying Father. Why? Because you understand it's the outworking of that relationship. Not some other relationship. You already have one to your world that you live in. Your parents, your job, your work, your home, your school, your growing up, wives, everything, husbands and all that. You got all of that. You have that anyway. All of that is terminal. Going to disappear. God, you did some, and you didn't create us just to be, spend a few years on earth. No, no. I created you to know and honor me. And I gave you the field. I gave you the atmosphere. I gave you the world to sit on, to ride on, as it were, to ride on it. To ride on it. So that what? That you would have opportunity to know me. I gave you choice. I gave the angels choice. I give you choice. To know me and honor me. And therefore, here you are, but it isn't about here. No, no, it's about your relationship to me. I'm the Creator. I allowed you all to be born in order that you might know me, in order that you might exercise the wonderful purpose, plan, and privileged life I have for you. In and because of the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, personal, precious, and therefore responsible. That's right. If I'm a slave, if I'm a son, I'm responsible to my father. I don't know. My father. I say father. And the father, your father. And you're responsible. Not human fathers. They have to fool with that. But when it comes to you, God, no, you're the father. And we're just us. That's little old us. That's all we are. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, please, to First Kings. First Kings, and maybe chapter 2. First Kings, chapter 2. And illustration. David had a wonderful relationship to God. And in the process, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, if I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, reason, purpose, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So whatever you do, I want to make it so it's wonderfully, wonderfully working for you. I'm going to go, and it isn't about David. It isn't, David, are you telling Solomon to pay attention to you? No. Pay attention to my God. It isn't about Solomon. It isn't about me, David. It's about God. Honoring God. That's what it's about. So fathers, what are we doing? They'll be like, no, you don't want them to be like you. You want them to be, you want to set the example that they would be like God. To look to God, that's your assignment. It's hard to find today because it's a very icky, sticky kind of world right now for men. The women are confused and in trouble because men aren't where they should be, to say it simply. If men were where they should be, we wouldn't have it. But it isn't going to happen not now. Now, so here we are looking, and you just do this. Now the point, what do you have to do? Solomon, David said, look to God, and he'll do whatever. And verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. If they have to honor me, you honor me, they have to do it. You can't override, you can't spread it out and give it away. You can't give away health. Sickness and disease you can give away, but you can't give away health. Otherwise, you'd walk in the house hospital up and down the aisles, and they'd all walk out healthy. You can't give away health. No, sir. That's personal. And you have to go work out your own what? Salvation with fear and trembling. You work it out. It's inside. It's an inside thing you work out. And you can't do it for anyone else. No. So, Solomon, what I was able to do and could do, you can do better, even more. But you're going to have to know God and honor God with all your heart. That's what David did. And Solomon did but didn't. Now, slide over to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, may I pick up in verse 7, his own prayer. This is Solomon's prayer. Think of what he was admonished by his father. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And what a wonderful privilege. I'm going to be a great king. No, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. David did. I do not. David, wherever David went, Deuteronomy 28:6, David was blessed going in and out. God was with him. Solomon said, that isn't true for me. I'm just a little child. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, just a little child, and I need to grow and go. So we need to grow and know. Now the question then you'd ask yourself, if you like, you'd ask, now you're growing and knowing, and here's Solomon sharing with his son. Now, do that. Over to Psalm 78 for a moment. Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, you would recall the instructions. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So we're carrying on what we understand, and we aren't carrying on tradition, we're carrying on truth. And verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come that are going to grow the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. We're going to keep showing God's wonderful grace. And for he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. The trouble is they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And you know that. Just think of us humans. To what measure did your father educate you about God's wonderful biblical truths? By life and limb. To what measure did your father do that? We're just us. And to the measure, God help, God thank you. But it isn't about that. No, it's about you, God. And if I honor my father and mother, and I understand I'm created I came by way of God. I'm looking to God. I'm not looking at my father and mother. I'm honoring their wonderful person being the source of my physical life. And God, I'm paying attention to you. So whether my father was a drunkard or a bum or anybody else, what difference? I get to know you. You're the father. That's right. You're the awesome father. That's correct. So I need to know that. And if you kept reading Psalm 78, we can't. But if you did, sliding down to verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They just didn't do or go anywhere. So God, that's what I want. And that's what you want. If you want to be the man, you want to be the father, you want to be just who you are, boy or girl, you got to go to God. Why? Because he's the father. What kind of life is it? It's the father's life. Then if you want to have that kind of life, you can't do it without the father. How are you going to do it without the father? How are you going to do it without God? You aren't going to do it without God. And all you're going to have is our human fleshly life. Coming and going, that's what we do. That's how we do it. You know, so what? Work, home, school, play. That's what we do. Wow. Now, so God, what are you looking for? What are we asking? God, we need to be looking to God to grow, to know, and to develop, and to grow. Now, another question, you know, the old questions, the good ones. If I follow you, how close will I get to God? If I follow you, how close will I get to God? If your children, people, work, home, school follow you, how close will they get to God? Wow. Interesting, isn't it? That's why we got lots of churches like Student Sunday School, so we don't have to fool with such things. Wow. But God, that's what it's all about. It's all about your wonderful person in a most wonderful way. Now, and having said that little bit, over if you would please, on your way, Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, picking up in thought. God, here we are, we're just us. And God, we want to grow. We want to know. And being a father, being a man, it takes something to be a man. God, I can't be the man apart from you. I can be a man, tough man, a big man, little man. No, God, I need to be the man that's more than a conqueror. I want to be the man that greater is he that taketh that his heart is right than the guy that conquers a whole city. If you can keep your heart right. That's why David, what did you tell Solomon? If you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, that's the difference. Because who? Why? Because you're letting the Father be a father to you. That's why you got to be childlike. Did you ever notice that? My little children. Because if you're a hotshot, well, not like that. You know, what am I? I'm a man. I'm an adult. I've lived this long. And that's what we do. And that's why we don't grow. Because we have our little thoughts and opinions and everything else, feelings and fears and everything else. And we don't grow. Because we already feel. We're somebody. Why should I have to be somebody else? Why should I need to do that? Why me? Why do I have to be different, you know? Why do I need to meet that standard? And thus, you know, because that's how you grow. That's how you grew up as a little child. You grew up, and you're growing. But you're going to have to go and look to God to help you. He's the Father. He's the Father. Now, our fathers, us fathers, I look back at my own life. I did a lousy job. I know I did. I don't have any question. I had no problem getting to God, but I got to God and I didn't spend enough time paying Monopoly, you know. but irregardless of that, it wasn't about Monopoly anyway. It's about God. And you know, there's an awesome God. We honor him. We honor him. Know that much. That if you want to leave a legacy, leave them with a knowledge of God. I'll be able to say like David, my God is the God. You need to know him. He's the only God and the only Savior. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in rhyme, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And God, it's a wonderful thing you've done for us in a most awesome way. And we're to go and exhibit and exercise to be that man, to play. God, you're the standard. And we don't have to sit there and cry and moan and groan and put it aside as impossible, irrelevant. No, on the contrary. We can bow our head and heart and thank God that you have such a God, the only God there is, the Father. And the Father happens to care about his creation. God happens to care about creating you in the first place. That's why you're created. You weren't created for nothing. That's why you're living on earth. And God has a wonderful plan for your life, and you need to go. And the Father wants that plan. The Father does. Wow. Wow. To be able to honor the Father. Wow. We're in the Father's business. Luke chapter 2. So we need to exercise. Whose business are you in? The Father? Well, what's it on? Lord, what did you say? Father, 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 234 plus or minus times. You said it. Because why? You're the perfect man, perfect Savior, perfect God. And who are you honoring? You weren't honoring the disciples. You weren't honoring the Israelites. You were honoring the Father. It's all about a relationship to the Father. God the Son with God the Father. And God brings us into that relationship where we have it. God, do you care? We've said it 100 times. No one cares for you like God does. And the trouble is, we don't let God take care of us, right? Do it another way. We don't let God love us, do we? Do we let God love us? Because that means he's going to change us. If I'm letting God love me, boy, I'm going to be changed. Wow, but if I don't let God love me, I can do whatever I want. I can feel resentment and bitterness and all of those things and sit there. But God, if I'm going to let you love me, I can't do that. I'm going to have to change. That's right. Wow. So now, over in closing, if you would, appreciate your patience. All we try to do is understand, at the very minimum, don't lose the fact that you are the product of a father and mother. I hate to say it, but you do have to say it, especially the young people who are getting bombarded with stupidity, and they're going to pay for it. You realize the price that's going to be paid for this kind of movement by a country, not by just people, by a country. Wow. Now, over in closing, 2 Corinthians, wonderful section to encourage the Corinthians to encourage us. 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, picking up if I may, in the process. I won't read it all for the time's sake, but I'll skip if I can. I'll go to verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Etc., etc. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are sitting there, if you're saved, you are the temple of the living God. You are. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, God said, listen, do you understand your relationship? I'm the Father. Now, I try to tell you, you're the temple. It's my house, my temple, my residence that I live in. Okay. Now, God, the wonderful, awesome, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, don't get tied up in all the people trying to help people. The best thing you can do to grow is reach to the highest. Keep reaching high, and you'll help the people in the bottom. If you try to reach down, it's a rule in sports, business, everywhere. It's the rule. Reach down to the bottom, and you'll lose them. If you want to help anything, go up. The higher up you go, the more you grow, the more you help people. I got to help them and go down. No, you want to grow and reach out for God. And that's where God is going to move. And when you do that, my wife, my date, my whatever it is, I got to go backwards. No, I want to go up if I want to help anybody at all successfully. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And, oh, here it is, and my person will be a father unto you. I am going to be a father unto you. I am going to be, what position are you going to take? As my God? Uh-huh. As my Savior? Uh-huh. As my Lord? Uh-huh. Ah, as my Father. I'm going to be your Father. And a father does what he does in love, to reproduce in another so that he can see himself. He can give himself. That's what love is. Giving of himself to bring out everything that could ever be brought out in the light of the Father's mind and heart. Now, we are trying to say you need to do this and you're doctor, lawyer, Indian chief or something. No, but no. You need to know God the Father. And God the Father will bring out of you. If you keep coming to him, trusting him, he's going to bring out of you what he has in mind. And his ways and thoughts higher than the heavens. More than the sand of the sea about you. God, go for it. Go for it. Wow. Now, and therefore, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't know that you can do. Just hang on to that part. That's an awesome thing. To be a son. To be a child of God. Wow. My father's long gone. But all my father did is give me the life and everything and the opportunity that I individually could turn to God and know him. That's what I did a long time ago. That's what you do. A father. Father's Day is awesome, especially if it's a big F. F-A-I-T-H. Father. Father. Our God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts in this little bit, and just, God, it's no big deal. It's just you. And finding ourselves a little more committed, a little more comfortable, a little more understanding, God, for the relationship. Father, we aren't the boss. We don't call the shots. And it isn't about us. It's about your wonderful plan in your Son to glorify your wonderful person by way of your Son, by way of little old us, so that whatever we ask or think, you will do it. God, we've been looking at all those wonderful things. God, that's what it's all about. Letting you. You said we read it, God. And your Heavenly Father knoweth your need before you ask Him. And God, you already know. So God, we're going to look to you to outwork every inch, every step, with thanksgiving in our heart. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.